most trusted and connected man in Utah.
Dr. Frank Luntz.
Thank you.
Doug Wright.
Something good is happening in Utah in its politics, and something good is happening with its people. Don't change it.
The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
What a great pleasure to have Ann Romney here in studio with us. Mrs. Romney, what a pleasure to
Thank
have you.
You
spend this time. Thank you.
Oh, I love listening to you, Doug, so it's great to be here. And, and we go back to the Olympics. I mean, how many years?
You know, I'll never forget. That was such a fun time for me to get to know your husband, Governor Romney. Then we just knew him as Mitt.
Yeah.
And he would come into the studio once a month. We would talk, let's talk Olympics.
Right. I remember those.
And I was so honored. Several years ago, I celebrated an anniversary here at KSL. And just out of the blue, I had no idea this was going to happen. Your husband came right through that door and just goes, let's talk Olympics.
Oh, and, that's cute. Yeah, you know, that's great. What fond memories we all have of that period.
Oh, wasn't it wonderful?
Fantastic.
It was just wonderful. Today, we're here to talk about other issues, however, and I so appreciate you spending this time. And I wanted to mention the book that is out right now. And I understand that this was inspired by a commencement speech that you delivered not long ago. I've gone to some of my kids' commencement speeches, and they've been given by wonderful people. John Huntsman Jr. gave one of my son's commencement addresses. The other was Senator Bennett down at SUU. Tell us about this commencement address you delivered.
Well, yeah, it's now been made into a book form. So it's 8 things I wish I knew when I was graduating. And it's sort of just tips for how to live a more rich, abundant life. And finding joy and happiness throughout your life and just things you can do. Things, for instance, that I learned from George Romney. I wish I'd known this earlier, but it's so important in everything you think about is do your present job well. It's like, well, okay, that sounds good,
yeah.
But really think about that. It's unbelievable. Whatever job you have, whatever task you're working on, do it well. And it just will take you places in life you would never imagine.
Sometimes it's easy to get into the frame of mind where you are so – we're always just worried about our kids. You know, whether they're doing very well or you're in a rough spot, we all worry about them. Someone once said, you know, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child at any given
right.
time. And I think for some of us, it's easy to get caught up in the challenges of this world today and some of the concerns that we have. But I loved what you said. You know, yeah, there are some challenges, but yet it's a thrilling and just utterly wonderful time.
Isn't it extraordinary? What a time we live in. Obviously, we are, you know, acutely aware of our security risks and how much more dangerous the world is. At the same time, there's an explosion of knowledge, an explosion of research, an explosion of medical breakthroughs, all these things. And these kids that are graduating from high school and college, they're going to have a very exciting world to live in.
When you talk about the 8 tips that are out there, what are some that particularly resonate for you that you would kind of put at the top of the top 8?
Well, you know, I think I mentioned that do your present job well. You know, I think recognize at the end I talk about values that we appreciate and about the Bible and about how the lessons that we learn that we need to live our lives in such a way that we are live in harmony with good values. And it's important as individuals. It's important as a society. And you look now at just shortcuts that people take, even in politics, whether they think it's okay to lie and the ends justify the means. You know, it's not okay. And we have to remember that some of the principles that were taught in the entire recorded history of civilization have been taught in the Bible, and some of those principles and some of those things of decency and honesty and integrity and all of those things, whether you're religious or non-religious, they're still good philosophical teachers that taught those principles, and we have to recognize that they have great value for a society.
Isn't it amazing as we do get so complex and we view our world as complex and how interconnected we are, how often it does just boil down to those age-old principles of just treating one another decently, golden rule.
The golden rule.
Yeah.
It's universal. It's important. And you know, and I think, you know, having been in that political sphere where we were in a place where certainly the golden rule was never applied.
Yeah.
But you're in that place, and even then you recognized how important it is to be fair, to be considerate, to be conciliatory, all of these things that we need that are lacking in Washington, D.C., because we all know now that we are at a place with it's the most divisive. And the two sides can't even speak with each other. And that is not right. You know, there's things that absolutely have to get fixed. And it starts at home. It starts with just how we talk to one another. How do we treat one another? How are we respectful with one another? And those things are important.
It's always interesting how many of us, regardless of what background you come from, how often we refer to a father or a grandfather. And I can't tell you how often I've heard Governor Romney, how often I've heard you refer to George Romney and parents and just how important that is. And, you know, when we look at our role as parents today, we look at all of the portals that come into our lives, all of the fiber optics, all of the openings that didn't even exist when I was being raised. My mother had to worry about one TV, several radios. There was no such thing as a personal computer. There was no such thing as even personal stereo. And sometimes I think it becomes so overwhelming that you can almost be bogged down in the negative side. And that's what I like so much about your approach here.
Yeah,
it's a different world, but wow, can you imagine being raised in this world
today? Oh, I know. And, you know, let me warn you, just stay away from Twitter. I mean, you know, the unkindness that can happen, and it's ridiculous. It's like, would you dare say that to someone's face?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, let's really, really try to be more decent.
I've seen some of the late night talk shows do that, where they mean tweets or mean email. And some of the stuff we even get here, you'd hope that maybe here in Utah we'd be a little insulated. We're not.
Yeah,
you got to read some of the nasty stuff.
Unfortunately, I've learned to not read that.
Exactly.
And that's honestly, it's what I have to do is insulate myself. And during the entire campaign, I had to insulate myself from reading the negative things and always remember, why are we running? What purpose are we doing? And be positive and be cheerful and be optimistic. And but you couldn't be if you were reading it all. You absolutely had to maintain some kind of a balance by not even looking at it.
You know, one thing that we haven't mentioned, this book, which is wonderfully timed for this time of year, but Whatever You Choose to Be, 8 Tips for the Road Ahead. I understand that everything from this book is being donated to the Center for Neurologic Disease at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston.
It is. And I care passionately about that. And it's the Ann Romney Center for Neurologic Diseases. And we will be studying Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, multiple sclerosis, and brain tumors. So we are bringing together all of the research in neurologic diseases together under one roof. Very excited about that. We are going to be making breakthroughs. There was a breakthrough in Alzheimer's research just 2 weeks ago. Dr. Dennis Selko, who has done a lot of the preliminary research on beta amyloid protein on the brain with Alzheimer's patient. How can we break this down? Can we ever find a drug? Finally, in one study, very small study, they found that it was breaking down the amyloid protein and giving people 60% to 70% better cognition. And it's so exciting. I mean, this is in its infancy, but at my center, we will be doing the stage 3 trials of that drug. So we are on the cusp of making breakthroughs for neurologic disorders. And Alzheimer's and ALS are two that we've never had an answer for. You get diagnosed, and it's the most horrifying diagnosis, either ALS or Alzheimer's. And right now in our center, we are finding drug and pathways to be able to have answers for some of these devastating illnesses.
Off the air, I was telling you about an experience in our family with Dee's mother. You know, one of the brightest ladies I've ever known, one of those dynamic teachers that all the kids come back to see Mrs. Cleeton, and could play any instrument, just an incredible woman. And the last couple of years watching her deal with Alzheimer's was just heartbreaking. I mentioned even just to try it got to the point where we had to put the spoon in her hand so she could eat. And even then, it was difficult.
The loss is so horrible. And for the caretakers as well, and for the family members. It's horrible. It's a horrible, horrible disease. And we are very, very excited about the fact that we believe there will be breakthroughs. And in our research lab right now, believe it or not, they're testing a vaccine, a nasal vaccine for Alzheimer's.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Wouldn't that be incredible? And those of us that are at high risk, your wife will be at higher risk.
And on even within my family, even on my maternal side, we have none of it. But on my paternal side, we do. And my uncle, again, taught at Harvard, University of the Americas, University of Virginia, and he is dealing with some of this now. And boy, it's frightening.
It robs you of your personality as well, yeah. Which is really horrible.
I don't want to impose on your time, and I'm not going to take a break right now because I don't want to impose that much on your time. But could you tell us a little bit more about the center?
Yeah, it's very exciting. It is. We have a 12-story building that will be complete in a year. Right now, though, we already have 250 scientists and researchers working. Dr. Dennis Selko is the lead, Alzheimer's researcher in the country, and Dr. Howard Weiner is one of the lead MS researchers in the country. And those two gentlemen will be heading this center, and they are bringing in researchers and, you know, just all across the country, not just even in Boston, but all across the country will be bringing in people to study Parkinson's and ALS and Alzheimer's. And we want to accelerate. What we want to do is have an explosion and just accelerate the research, because we're at the point right now where the diagnostic tools to study the brain are much more sophisticated. It's been just too complex. It's been too difficult. I mean, we've seen this amyloid plaque on the Alzheimer's brain for a very long time. But how to break it? Even if you did break it down, would it help? So to know that there's a drug right now that is actually breaking it down and making a difference in those early Alzheimer patients in their cognition, it's fantastic and very exciting. So I think we're on the cusp of being able to make breakthroughs. In the research lab, we are also finding great success for the very first time for a drug for Alzheimer's, which Eli Lilly is now compounding. So I'm very excited. I really believe we'll be making some breakthroughs.
Boy, for so many years, we've seen miracles happen with the heart, with the kidneys, mm-hmm. transplants, all kinds of things. And it seems that the brain.
It's been the last frontier.
Yeah.
It is our last frontier. Obviously, we need to still make more progress with cancer and everything else. But look at the progress that's been made with heart and lung and cancer. The brain, its time has come, and I'm excited to know that in the Ann Romney Center, we'll be making some of those breakthroughs.
I really appreciate you spending a little extra time chatting with us about that. The title of the book, by the way, that we discussed at the beginning of the conversation, Whatever You Choose to Be, 8 Tips for the Road Ahead, and it's published by Shadow Mountain, and all of the proceeds from the book sales go to the Center for Neurologic Diseases at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Now, my listeners would be upset with me if I didn't ask how the family's doing and how you like being a Utah now.
Oh, it's great. We've moved into our home in Holiday, and we love it. And what a great place. I'm only disappointed that the ski season was cut a little short this year. My gosh. But at least it's not California with 6% of snowpack.
Exactly.
That is just crazy. It's very worrisome. But the boys are great. Josh is organizing this fundraiser with Mitt and Evander Holyfield for Charity Vision, and we're excited about that.
I mentioned off the air one day you're going to have to give me the backstory on that one.
Well, I set up the neurologic disease study for Mitt, knowing he was going to need it after his fight with Evander.
I understand that he said, you go ahead and try to hit me, Governor.
He did. Evander talked to Mitt yesterday, and he goes, hit me as hard as you want. Hit me as hard as you want. Hit me in the face. I don't care. You're not going to touch me.
Yeah, and good luck, right? Ann Romney, thank you so much for spending this time with us here at KSL News Radio. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come right back with more of The Doug Wright Show here at KSL. Recent